this morning. That is our prayer, that he would indeed teach us to abide. Church, while you remain standing, if you take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. While you're turning there, thank you so much, worship team, this morning. Thank you, Lisa, for your leadership and just ushering us into the presence of the Lord. Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14, the Word of God says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, this is the final message that's now coming to the church, says, write this, the Amen, and here's that word that we've been using this series, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. You don't know that you're wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you might clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness would not be revealed. An eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you might see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I've also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. And we've said this refrain over and over throughout this series. And so for one final time, can we say this together, church? Let the one who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Lisa. Father, indeed, we ask you, teach us this morning to abide. Teach us this morning. May we meet with you and find you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As you can see from the reading of this prophetic message to Laodicea, this series, it starts and ends with Jesus, the faithful witness. He is the faithful witness. When we talk about faithful witness in a fractured world, the reality is the world that we live in is in desperate need of Jesus. How many say amen to that? I mean, how many really agree with that? Now, I want, especially if you actually said amen for witness, he introduces himself as, first and foremost, the Amen. The Amen, the true and the faithful witness, he understands that this world that his Father has created, this world that he came and died for, is in desperate need of his grace, of his love, of the Spirit. And we agree with that. And as we listen to this message, I can't help but to think of my own journey in Christ, and I wonder about yours. Everybody's story is not that I grew up in church. I won't make you raise your hand and say, hey, how many, that's not your story, but that's not everyone's story. Now, there's some of us in here that are church kids, that are longtime church kids. Some of us were almost born in the pew. And because some of you have been here so long, I don't even know if they had, like, birthing wings at hospitals yet. I love our seasoned saints. They're not old, they're seasoned. But you came to faith in Christ, and then what? And then what? Those of you that your story is a little bit like mine, you were born and raised in the church, and you grew up, and it was mom and dad's faith, and then all of a sudden you became a teenager, and logic started kicking in, and maybe you started questioning some things about the faith. But then there are some things that you stopped questioning, and things made a lot of sense, and all of a sudden their faith became your faith. Young people in the room, listen to me, because this is important. There should come a time when, even if mom and dad walked away from this, you're in. And I'm not just talking about the faith. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about church. There's sometimes that some of us, we grow up in this thing, and all of a sudden, I've seen people where mom and dad walk away, and because kids are 10, 11, what are we going to do? They walk away. But then something happens, though, when you're all of a sudden you're a teenager, and mom and dad are giving you some liberties to make decisions on your own. You're driving now. You're old enough to decide who you follow on social media. I think you're old enough to decide to follow Jesus. But what happens after this decision? What about right now? I just want you to think for a second. Your walk with Christ right now. How much of your walk with Jesus is a walk with Jesus? And how much of it is just a walk? This is Laodicea. That's why this morning I want to talk about the dependency of a faithful witness. My family and I, we traveled to the UK back in December. You all remember that. And it was a great trip to go over to celebrate the commencement at Bangor. But this was an interesting trip. I haven't spoke much about some of the stuff that took place while we were there, but there were things that I was not expected. I was expected that the car was going to be on the wrong side of the road and that the steering wheel was going to be on the wrong side of the car. I mean, everything over there, driving-wise, it was just all wrong. The roundabouts were cool, though. There was not much daylight, though. We'd wake up in the morning, and the sun probably really came out around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it felt like it was about 10 o'clock at night. It threw me off. But me being the, maybe you call it hopeless romantic, maybe you can call it a very awesome dad. I learned that from Bluey. Maybe it's a great son, but I figure I'm on this trip and I have my mom with me, my wife with me, my daughters. And so, you know what I said? We're all the way on this other. I don't know when I've never been over on that side of the water before, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to go back. London is only a 4-hour drive away. Let's get in the car and go on the wrong side of the road and drive down to London. Wouldn't that be an awesome dad to be able to say he took his girls to go see Big Ben and the Buckingham Palace and all that cool stuff? The problem is, while we were there, the internet was not, our cell service was really spotty. But you're not going to slow me down. What I did the night before, there's a feature on the iPhone, sorry, Android users, but there's a feature on the iPhone that you, and they're going to say we could do this, that you could download your map to your phone. So, listen, CarPlay is so awesome. Hannah, Apple phones are great. Ray Burns, get your daughter. So this Apple CarPlay is a great feature. The night before, I'm laying in bed, and I go ahead and I download the whole map, getting me there so I can watch it offline. So even if I lose my internet signal, I'm going to get where I'm trying to go, right? How many have ever done something like that before? You don't want to get lost? Okay, cool. Android users, raise their hand like, yeah, we've been doing that. Okay. But here's the issue. Next morning, we get up early. We're off to an adventure, and we're driving. It's rainy. It's cold. It's getting dark fast, but we're making it. We made a couple other cool stops along the way. If you've ever watched the show, My British Cooking Championship, the British thing with Prue, and so we stopped by there on the way. Like this, I'm killing it, right? Spoiler alert: we found out that's actually not a hotel; it was someone's house. So here it is. I'm pulling up, trying to walk through, and a man and lady come out. Like, sir, yeah, they're not doing a baking championship right now. So we get down to London. By the time we make it there, it's too dark to see Big Ben. It's rainy. We're in some back streets, and we were just snapping photos out the window. No, we can't stop and get out now. It's dark. Can't find out where we are. And then we had a problem. The map that I downloaded to get me there, didn't even think about downloading the map to get me back. Stop laughing. Listen. When I tell you there was nothing funny about that car ride at that point, can you imagine the panic? I'm not taking pictures anymore. I need everybody in the car quiet. My daughters are in the back hungry and sleepy. I mean, we got up early and we left and we've just been driving. And because I got this, I'm thinking I'm going to get gas on the way back. That statement, see, the uh-ohs is because you can forward read into this statement now. Girls are tired and hungry. Gas is low. My mom's in the back seat trying to help, but it ain't helping. She's got an Android phone, first of all, so that's an issue. And then Karen's asking me questions and stuff because she's trying to help, and I'm snapping at her. And there were valid questions, but how many know when you're stressed out, every question is just enough, and I'm just, here's the problem. I needed to get us back where we were supposed to be, and I couldn't do it on my own. I knew where we were supposed to be. I could not get there on my own. And I knew what I needed to get there, but I didn't have access to it. Has anybody ever been in that situation before? Across the seas, I'm totally dependent upon that GPS voice. I'm in a place like London, I need to hear her say, "Turn left here." I'm stressing without that voice when I'm in a foreign place. But something happens when I'm in familiar territory, and I don't know if any of you are like this. See, when I'm home, I still use the GPS, but I'm in familiar territory. So I have a system. I get in the car, I plug up the phone, I put my little map in, this is where I'm going, and then there's a cool feature that you can say, silence the voice. I don't need to hear you. Because I can look around and these streets look familiar. M59, I-75, The Lodge, Woodward, come on, you get it. 23 is right here. Milford Road is right there. I just need a visual that every now and then when I look over, and sometimes I don't need the visual, I just need to see how long, what's the estimated time till I get there. I don't need to communicate with the GPS. I know what I'm doing. And if I hear that voice, here's what irritates me. I love my music when I'm driving. And I love my audiobooks when I'm driving. My kids, not so much. And Karen may not like the Christmas music on repeat throughout the year, but here's the deal. I love my music and I love my books. And that GPS likes to come in at the wrong spot. It's right when the song was going and Fred Hammond was about to turn that corner. And then she comes in and says, "Turn left, right." What are you doing, Siri? I'm in the middle of a concert right now. Or that audiobook just got to the right place. I think you all are with me. I think you're with me enough that we can move on. Here's the thing. That's okay when it comes to driving and commuting. It's not okay when it comes to our faith. And the problem is, most of us, at some point in time, many of us, we've gotten to this place where we treat the Holy Spirit like a GPS. Not right now. I got this. We've come to faith in Christ. We've surrendered all. Here I am, yours. Teach me to abide. But then, silence. In our maturing, silence. In our accomplishments, silence. All of our advancement that's taking place, God is moving us from glory to glory. We're going from grace to grace. And in all this, we're doing it in such familiarity that we've all of a sudden silence the voice. Isaiah says that voice, there's a still small voice in the back reminding you, walk this way. That Isaiah, if you read Isaiah 30 verse 21, it's like the Spirit is like a GPS in the back. And if you've ever been like me, especially if you have the volume turned up, the beauty of that volume being turned up is if you're driving and you all of a sudden get distracted and you missed your turn, you might hear her say, rerouting. How many has ever heard that? Rerouting. It says, you were supposed to go where I told you, but you didn't, but I'm still here. I didn't leave. But what happens when we silence the voice, church? Here's what we understand from the message of Laodicea. When the Spirit is not welcomed, our witness is not valid. When the Spirit is not welcomed, our witness is not valid. Laodicea, this message that we hear, it's perhaps the most popular out of the seven messages. A tying second might be Ephesus because of the first love. But there's probably no message that's been preached more, quoted more, and I would even argue been misquoted more. This message has been misunderstood by and large. And maybe you're here today and you've read through the book of Revelation. Maybe you were excited to hear that we're going to do a series in Revelation, thinking that we're going to go all the way through. No, we're just looking at the messages to the churches. And more than just preaching these messages to you as a pastor, as shepherd, I need to teach you what's taking place in these messages. Because if we're reading it the wrong way, it's going to shape our faith. If we read it through the lens and through the filter of what we've heard so many years, it's going to stunt our growth. Laodicea, that's the rich and wealthy church. Folks, this message is not about money. Yeah, this is the church of affluence, but don't misread Christ as condemning wealth. He's not doing that here. That's not the problem. What's about possession? They have need of nothing. Yet they claim to have need of nothing, but it's not their have or what they have or not their lack. That's not necessarily what the issue is. Jesus speaks to what they've been boasting in, but there's a bigger problem there. And contrary to what I've heard many people preach, many people teach, this is not about cold Christianity or about being on fire for God. And many times we've heard that. We're not cold or we're not hot, so he wants to spit. Because we're either cold and... Why would Jesus want us to be cold Christians? This is not a matter of hot and cold. It's about intimacy versus independence. When you read the message to the church of Laodicea, it's about intimacy versus independence. And if we hear this message the right way, when we leave this church, we should leave taking a deep audit of our lives, our personal lives, our private lives, our lives in the community. We should take a deep inspection and say, where is the Spirit not welcomed? Because when the Spirit is not welcomed, our witness is not valid. Oh, you can show up to church and ask for the Spirit to pour himself out here. But can the same Spirit that we want present in our worship show up at our home? Husbands and wives, is that same Spirit welcomed in your dialogue? Parents, is that same Spirit welcomed in your discipline or the liberties that you've given to your children? How much has the Spirit stepped into that? Oh, I got this. I know how to parent. I got this. I know how to wife. I know how to husband. So you're good then. If you're good having a spiritless marriage, then your marriage is not a witness. If you're good at leaving the Spirit out of your dealings with your sons and daughters, then your parenting is no witness. If you show up to work and your only goal is to be the best employee, but the Spirit doesn't clock in with you and clock out with you, you have no witness at work. And this is the issue in Laodicea. He says, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Here, when we begin to hear this introduction that he makes to the church. Remember, every time we hear him make an introduction, it's for a purpose. If you ever stop and read through the letters of Paul, Paul does this. When he introduces himself, one day I'm a bondservant. One day I can go from a slave, I can go from an apostle, your brother. How the writer introduced himself is significant. It speaks to the point they're trying to make. Every time Jesus introduces himself to a church, why does he keep changing this thing? Because the people that he's talking to, they need to understand who is speaking here and not just see him on a cross. Not just see him there in creation saying, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. They need to see the incarnate Son coming and giving his life over for humanity. And what did that look like? But here in this message, like no other, divinity, preeminence, authority, and source all converge in this title. Listen, John 1 tells us that he existed in the beginning. Revelations 22:21 says that he will be the final affirmation of all things. And we've seen now twice in this reading that he is the faithful witness. In other words, he says, I was here. I'm going to meet you right over here. And everything taking place in between, I'm there to witness it. So how can we do life without him? It is his spirit that he gives to us. How can that spirit not be welcome in our lives? So then though the greeting might be new for the church, he starts speaking familiar language. He says, I know your deeds. They were expecting that. This church has a testimony in their eyes. I would say this way, the church doesn't have a testimony, they have a reputation. West Highland, if you've been worshiping in this place more than 5 years, especially if you've been worshiping in this place more than 10 years, some of you have been here for more than half a century, and you need to understand the weightiness in those words. A reputation and a testimony are not the same thing. You don't need the Spirit of God for a reputation. You desperately need him for a testimony. I know your deeds. But then he says something that they're probably not expecting. He moves from works. Stick with me for a second. I'm going to make this make sense for you. He moves from works to hospitality. You're probably not reading this and thinking hospitality, but just stick with me for a second. In antiquity, this was actually a thing. If it wasn't good to drink, you spit it out. Bring another. That's why if you go and you see that Jesus made the good wine, if you kept it, it was good. Something's wrong with this. He says, I know your deeds, but then he says, but something's wrong with this. He says, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were, because that's good hospitality. That's good hospitality for you to actually provide for me something that's either soothing or refreshing. But I come to you and I get nothing. Anybody ever read the parable of the fig tree? And Jesus is coming for fruit? Because the tree has a reputation. There's some leaves that are growing on the tree that says, if I come to that tree, there's something that I should receive there. But nothing? Then fruit no more shall you bear. He comes to the church of Laodicea and he says, this is what I was expecting. See, when we think of consuming drinks. Now, this is not my favorite, but all the glory that comes from this vessel right here. The anointing. Oh, it pours down Aaron's beard, it says in the Bible. Amen. Come on now. So that's what it took to get this church saying amen. A coffee mug. But Jesus says that you're neither of these. There's nothing soothing there, and there's nothing refreshing there. Laodicea is so beautiful, handcrafted, but room temperature. All the bells and whistles there, Laodicea, but I can't be soothed by this or refreshed by this. Here's the difference, church. Let me explain to you what lukewarm Christianity looks like. To be refreshed will take some work. For the water in this jug to refresh me, it's got to now take on a different temperature than what the room is. I got to chill it. I gotta put some ice cubes in it, maybe. If I want cold refresh, he says, I wish that something had taken place to change the internal temperature so that you didn't feel like your surroundings. But that's not you, Laodicea. That's not you. Oh, and you decaf people. I don't even. You can block your ears. This sermon is not for you. I'm talking to the caffeinated brothers and sisters in the room. Come on, amen, caffeinated folks. Yeah. But something has to happen over here. Something has to happen to this. Church, it's not just you, it's me. God forbid that this is what we're asking the Lord to drink from. Here's my worship, God. But when I dip my finger in it, it feels like everything around you. Lord, look at what I've accomplished in my life. You did? Oh, congratulations. But you look and sound and act just like the world around you. I don't know about you. I've never finished a good meal and said, now if I could just get a vase of water. I've never come in from a hard day at the gym and said, oh my goodness, where's the nearest room temperature cup of water? The snowpocalypse hits and we get out there and we're blowing the snow and we get finished and you go in the house and you can barely feel your fingertips. I'm not going and finding the nearest cup of lukewarm water. I need something to soothe me. We live in a fractured world, West Highland. The world does not need you to step into their space looking like them. The world does not need your marriage to look like their marriage, your parenting to look like their parenting, your leisure to look like their leisure. It's hard to speak this way because the challenge is, I say this myself, as pastors, it's hard to speak into, there's a fine line between this is godliness and this is legalism. But can I ask you, church, where's the distinction? Come on, what separates us from the environment that we're in? If the world is fractured, how come the church looks so fractured? We're supposed to be faithful witnesses in a fractured world. Jesus is basically saying, I see what you're doing. I see all your works. I see you out here, Laodicea. As much as you're doing it without me. Because you're doing it without me, bears no witness to me. It bears no witness to me. But here's the beauty. He doesn't say, I have spat you out of my mouth. He says, I will. In other words, the beauty for Laodicea, like every other church, there's hope. Come on, turn to somebody. I have not done this once since I've been here, but now you're going to turn to somebody and tell them there's hope. Come on, tell them there's hope. Well, how do we know that they're leaving Jesus out? Let's look at verse 17. It says, because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and I have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments that you might clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness. the shame of your nakedness? Let me tell you something a little bit about Laodicea. These are some very strong things that he's saying. You're wretched and miserable. Here's the crazy part. Poor, blind, and naked. Right around 60 AD, there was a major earthquake and a lot of the major buildings and structures and stuff lost in Laodicea. They built back up their city with no government help. And that was their claim. We don't need from the imperial government. We don't need it. We got this. They amassed businesses and they had coliseums and theaters. They had theaters there that will today be on par with our big house in Ann Arbor. Major place. You don't walk into Laodicea would probably give you Dubai vibes. You'd walk in like, oh my goodness. This is even after an earthquake. Where do you see poverty in that? But blind? They were so intellectual that this was like a place for scientific, like innovations. They were known for this particular solvent that they would put on eyes for better vision. You make medicine for the eyes, and Jesus is saying, but you're blind. And this was crazy. And buy from me white garments so that you might clothe yourself. Folks would come to Laodicea for their garments. But they were really known for their black wool. And it's kind of like, I could almost see Jesus putting a pun on like what they're doing. He said, listen, you got on clothes, but they're not the right clothes. It's kind of like Adam and Eve. Come on, think about it. When all of a sudden they realize that they're naked, they realize the shame of their sin, and they come and cover up with leaves. And Jesus says, oh, well, my blessed fruit of the loom, this is so beautiful. I almost wonder how long the Lord waited and watched. Like, did he wait till the leaves dried and be like, that's itching, ain't it? Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have ever made that for you, but you do you. That's because now you're leaning on your own understanding, so that's how you're going to fix things. And he just waits and he says, all right. And then he goes Louis Vuitton on him and gives him like a leather jacket. Like, here you go. Who sins and gets a leather jacket? Bikers. That was bad. But he says, you're miserable. You're wretched. You poor, blind, and naked. But faithful, they've been doing all of this stuff without him. Faithful witness is never independent of the one who was from the very beginning. It does not matter what we feel that we've accomplished, folks. Without him, it's nothing. It's nothing. And what's really going on here, and I want to help us understand this final message, church, it is so important. Because everything that you see in this passage right here, Jesus is now talking about public matters. He's critiquing their public life. When you hear these messages to the churches in Revelation, it moves across a spectrum of position and situation. And if you just leave out one of them, you miss what the Spirit is saying. You leave out one of these, you miss what the Spirit is saying. And it's so purposeful that he ends it right here and says, now let's talk about the way we look out in public. He challenges social engagements. Think about it. In 15 and 16, he's talking about hot and cold. That's hospitality. That's personal. But then in 17 and 18, he starts to get very relational, very marketplace conversation. This is very public. You say, that you say, it's not just in your heart you say, but no, they would publicly say it. They say to the government, we're good. They say to folks that want to give a handout, we don't need that. We give handouts. We're fine. We're okay. And everything that they're doing, they're not like the church in Philadelphia who says, man, this is such a great place that I'm in, but I don't even know if I deserve to be here. I deserve this. I've built this. This has been from my labor. I've been doing this for years. So Jesus says, okay. Church, what I found interesting about this message, and you go back and you read it over again for yourselves. He doesn't call them crooked. They're just not witnesses. He doesn't call them slanderous. They're just not witnesses. He doesn't call them lazy. I see your works. They're just not witnesses. And as I'm reading that, here's what hit me. Listen to me, church. Please listen to me. Because I fear that there's some that might feel like because your name is on the roster of a church that you're a faithful witness. There's some that might feel because you step through the door Sunday after Sunday that you're a witness. Just because you're not lying, killing, stealing, or sleeping around does not make you a witness. You can be a good person, but without the good shepherd, we are nothing but wandering sheep, destined to get stuck in the thorns and thickets. This is Laodicea. So Jesus, what's the problem? Well, after critiquing all this, he just says this. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. It sounds like a jarring statement in the middle of this message. But then the aha moment hits me, church. I would ask you this question. How comfortable has your walk been? Because this church is just sitting back and saying, we're good, everything's good. I can hear the Spirit leaning in and saying, you know why it's good? Because we haven't had a conversation in a while. You know why you're comfortable? Because I've been speaking, but you silenced the GPS. You know why things are so good, Laodicea? Because there's some things that I want to speak into, but you're not even hearing me. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Then he says this very popular passage. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, hears that voice, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. The crux of the entire message really hinges on these. Because where the Spirit of God is not welcome, our witness to God is not valid. That's what he's saying here. All of this stuff that you're doing, I'm not there, I'm not present. You're not hearing me speaking to these things. I can almost hear Jesus saying, church, you would be spiritually embarrassed if you saw what you call success through my eyes. Would he say that to us? We are debt-free, 12 acres, 50-year-old academy, 4 generations worshiping place together. In our congregation, we have businesses, we have degrees, we have missions experiences, we have folks that have led prayer meetings, Bible studies. We have so much in here. This is not a church that has our hand out saying, please come and help us. But what if all this stuff that we've been doing, church, what if heaven would peel back the curtain and say, but you're doing it without me. But here's the deal, church. I don't believe that this is just a matter of the church's public. I don't think it's, I'm knocking at the door of 1116 South Hickory Ridge Road. Believe there's, because he says, whoever, the individual who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He's talking to everybody. When is the last time you felt the discipline of the Lord in your private life? When is the last time there was such an intimacy with the Lord that the Holy Spirit can step in and say, I'm not okay with that? But it's so uncomfortable. Blessed are they that mourn. I don't want to let this go. I'll comfort you if you do. Because if you kill that, it's not a grave, it's a garden in the kingdom. But we can't hear them. Because our success is taking place in the midst of familiar. So we silence the voice that we may go on with our own entertainment the way that we want to be entertained. We silence the voice that we may go on with our own knowledge the way that knowledge works. I'm even talking to us spiritual folks. Sometimes we silence the voice so that we can read something else. But what if sometimes he just said, close the book and just sit down? No, turn that worship song off for a second. I want to speak to you. When is the last time the Lord just said to you in your heart, grab a journal and a pen, we got to talk? When is the last time you felt him saying, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. Lisa, if you can come, let me close with some just some clear directions. How do we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and leave this place changed? Because if all we did was sat in the congregation together and just listen to some points around Revelation, then this was a waste of time. And this can't be a waste of time, yours nor mine. If the Spirit is in this place to speak, then this right now needs to be that transformative moment for us. How do we hear this, church? First of all, hear this thing. Hear this close. We can't be this kind of church. You can't be this kind of son, daughter, husband, wife, sister, brother, mother, father. We can't be the lukewarm church. But here's the deal. If there's no distinction, then there's a problem. If nothing changes, to be lukewarm just says whoever controls the climate out here, they control the climate in here. That's what lukewarm means. It's not a matter of what sin and what salvation. Praise God for redemption. But is that all you want? Come on, church, is that all you want? Is that all you? I remember I told my son, you know what? I thank God for John 3:16. For God so loved the world that those who believe him will not perish but have everlasting. Thank God for that. But I want more than a John 3:16 Christianity. What about you? I want a Daniel 11:32. Those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Do you want to know God? You can't know him if the Spirit is not welcome there. And if the Spirit is welcome, he's going to speak to some things. He's going to speak to some things that are not sin. I think so many times to Samson. I think about this. Listen, he had a Nazarite vow. There was a specific calling on his life. And these things that God said you can't do, they weren't a matter of sin. They were a matter of, but you're going to be a rescuer of my people. Because I'm calling you to this, you can't do that. I had a conversation the other day with my son, and we're just talking through some things that he's like, you know what, Dad, always growing up, I always wonder why you didn't do this and you did do that, and how come you and Mom didn't do this? And I just said, because there's a calling on my life. Well, Dad, is this sin? No, that's not sin. But I'm called to shepherd people. What has he called you to? Because you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ for good works that he's prepared in advance for you to walk in. And guess what, folks? If he's prepared in advance for you to walk in it, then you should be conditioned for that walk. And guess what, folks? If you're conditioned for that walk, you can't do that without sitting down and talking with him. You cannot walk this walk in the Spirit without the Spirit. Listen. I thank God for everything that he's taken me through, every next level, whether it be business things that he's done, education things. Those are great. But church, understand this. Prosperity and success do not always mean the presence of the Spirit. Sometimes they mean that the Lord is working with you. He's gone forth on your behalf. He's opening doors for you. Yes, sometimes it means that, but no, not always. Don't misread the room. And finally, there's no public witness without a private waiting. You want to be a faithful witness in this fractured world. You will never be that, my brothers and sisters. We can argue back and forth on this till the cows come home. But there is no public witness without a private waiting. Go to Acts chapter 2 and tell me if I'm right or wrong. Jesus doesn't say, go and cry out publicly in the streets and then the Spirit's going to... No, he says, go in this room and you shut the door and you start praying. And in the waiting, the Spirit is going to come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. Church, some of us have gotten too busy to hear that knock. It's like we're turning on the GPS, but you're in familiar territory, so you say, I don't need the voice. It feels right. You know what, church? What I'm learning in this journey called being a witness is that it's a lot more like the back roads of London at night than it is an afternoon stroll down M59. I don't care how familiar it is. I know that there are things that I cannot see that he sees from heaven. And I need him walking with me and talking with me and telling me that I am his own. But here's the deal. If I'm his own, he said, those who I love, I reprove, I discipline. Just as I could not get home that night without my GPS, church, I can't make it in this walk without the Spirit. You can't make it in this walk without the Spirit. And if he's not welcome, we won't be a witness. Have all the love you want, Ephesus. I know that we got to Ephesus and we said that it takes love to be a faithful witness. Have all the love you want if without the Spirit, you just feel good. Smyrna, if you're suffering without the Spirit, you'll just end up a victim and not a witness. Pergamum, you can have all the discipleship you want, but if you have discipleship void of the Spirit, you're just puffed up with knowledge and pride. Thyatira, you need discernment. But without the Holy Spirit, it's not discernment, it's just your opinion. Sardis, if you have life without the Spirit, it's just spiritual fanaticism and not wisdom. Oh, Philadelphia, I'm glad you're getting over this imposter syndrome. But without the Spirit, you might as well pack up your bags and move over to Laodicea because that's where they are, prideful. So what is the Spirit saying here, church? We need the Spirit. Church, I need the Spirit. You need the Spirit. Can you stand with me this morning? Perhaps you're in this place today. You're not hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. But it's because you've never had fellowship with Jesus in the first place. And sometimes we say that like it's supposed to just be the stranger that's in the room. And I know that we can say things and we can. Yes, I've asked the Lord in my heart. But James talks about this faith without works is dead. Like, were you just making a statement or did you really ask the Lord to come in and transform your life? Church, this morning, I'm not talking to the person who's never stepped foot in the church. I'm not just talking to the person who's been here for, I'm talking, it doesn't matter if you sat in this seat for 30 years. Every last one of us are in the need of the same Savior, and we need the same Spirit. I'm going to close this morning, and I'm going to pray for you. If you're in this place this morning, and then I'm just, and after I pray, I'm just going to have Lisa sing. And if you want to just, as she sings, if you want to stay where you are for a moment, you might just need time with the Lord, and we'll dismiss for those that need to pick up their children in the education wing from Sunday school or from nurseries. But I want to pray for you this morning because this is the moment I would say, if you're in this place and you want to give your life to Christ, if you're in this place and you want to be hot or cold, you say, Lord, help me. As a pastor, if you don't have the energy or the strength to pray that God would heat you up or cool you off, I'm praying that for you. I thought about this this morning as I was thinking about prayer tonight. This happened on two occasions. I really want to encourage you, church, especially if you're in this place and you say, Pastor, listen, I've been struggling with this lukewarm. I'm gonna tell you an easy way to fix that. Just come pray with us. Just come pray with us on Sunday night. This happened twice with me. I was just praying. It was just kind of like a lot of things going on in my mind. And one night I'm there praying, and Mark comes up to me and he writes a quote down. It was just something that was just on my mind, and it just ministered to me, and it just kind of lit a fire in my time in prayer. Another night I was right there, and Carl comes over and puts a hand on my shoulder and says, hey, Pastor, as I was, the Lord just told me to come and pray, and just he starts praying for me and just sharing what was on his heart. Maybe you just might need to come and sit down and let somebody come lay a hand on your shoulder and pray with you. And maybe that's going to light a fire, because at the end we come together and we pray together corporately. Maybe that's going to light a fire under you to now, Lord, we want to see your Spirit in this church. Church, I don't want to be just a John 3:16 church. I don't think you want to be that either. And if you're content with just being the church that believes, this might get uncomfortable for you. I want to be that Daniel 11:32 church. A church that knows their God and does exploits. But you know what? For that to happen, folks, we got to open the door. We've got to open the door. And when we open the door, he's going to speak. And he's going to speak to some hard stuff. He's going to speak to some habits. He's going to speak to some mindsets. He's going to speak to some relationships. But how many in this place want to start hearing the Lord speak more? Come on, raise your hand high. Lord, speak to me. Lord, as our hands are lifted up, God, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters. Lord, we will not silence the voice anymore, God. We will not keep turning it off and being comfortable in the familiar. But Lord, I pray with my brothers and sisters, Lord, break us free from being lukewarm in our faith. Break us free from being room temperature in our walk. Lord, we want to feel the fire of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to be a refreshing people of God, a refreshing representation to your rule and reign in our lives, God, in this fractured world. Father, make us faithful witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen. As Lisa leads us, you can be dismissed or you can be here to pray as Lisa sings. And we'll see you tonight for 6 o'clock prayer. 6 o'clock prayer will be in the overflow, in the fellowship hall at 6 p.m., from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. tonight. God bless you.
I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. I am your servant, and I am listening. is silent. My soul is longing. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Oh, speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me. Oh, speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Oh, speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak.